Welcome, WSJF listeners, to the locally produced show called SJCC Clergy Q&A, where we take questions about our Catholic faith from you, and we have our St. Joseph Catholic Community clergy answer them. The goal of this program is to provide answers to a few questions about our faith that might help to support your faith life in today's very challenging environment. So thanks for sitting in to listen. Here's the host of SJCC Clergy Q&A, Bob Bastrus, and his guest today, Father John Wardle.
Morning, Father.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time to be with us this morning again. We really enjoyed our last conversation, and we're looking forward to this one as well.
My pleasure.
So we have questions that come from our parishioners, and the first question today comes from Audrey. Her question is, Father, what recommendations do you have for our family to make this Lent particularly meaningful? In previous years, we enjoyed using all of the pamphlets provided by St. Joe's to work with our son and daughters, but with the COVID-19 restrictions, we're really at a loss.
Yeah, that's a good question. Certainly, we're putting our energies this year into our website. We've got a wonderful Lenten program. It's the best Lent ever. So even though we don't have the usual literature on our website, please visit us and see what we have for the family, things for the kids. So we're good to go.
So do you have some examples of some things that are on the website that families can use?
Well, to tell you the truth, I haven't really scrolled through all the stuff that's available for the kids. But, you know, there's some traditional thing you can do, too. And that is just making sure that everybody in the family is connecting with Jesus as he is in his 40 days of fasting. Fasting together would be a good thing. It doesn't have to be a big and long and involved thing, but it certainly can be a way that around your dinner table, you can remember who you are and who Jesus is in this season as we look forward to Easter.
I remember in one of your sermons, you talked about setting up a kind of a table for an altar or something like that, and maybe having a crucifix there and perhaps bringing some of that to the children with Bible readings and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like having an altar in the house. Yeah, I have one in my house with icons and candles, I think, are important because candles are very spiritual. You know, it kind of begins your liturgy by lighting them up. You know that there's a beginning to what you're doing. And you could just be there in silence because in a way, even though it sounds very mysterious, silence is a language. It's a language of God. And in the stillness, he often talks to us, not necessarily with an audible voice, but in a mysterious voice that if we get space and time in our lives to listen to God and at a family altar like that, perfect.
So, Father, you were talking about some of the things that are available for us as parishioners during Lent, and understand one of these is called life mapping. What is life mapping all about?
Yes, this is one of our offerings here at the church for adult formation. And even though you might be a parent and you're thinking about your family and what you can do with the kids, you might want to think about what you can do for yourself. And we're offering a new program online that can be done at your convenience. We call it life mapping. And the whole premise for life mapping is that your life is holy. Your life is special. It's absolutely unique. And that God has been in your life from the beginning, whether we see it or not. That all the things that have gone on in your past life, whether they're good or bad, has gone into your formation. And I find that a lot of people are strangers to themselves. They don't know who they are. The past is sort of a murky thing. And so, you know, we don't really know who we are. We don't know how God has actually been very present in our life. And so life mapping helps us to go back and sort of write our own story. So it's kind of like you're going to be a little bit of a novelist here, okay? And we show you how we do that. You know, when you get on our website and check it out, because, you know, this is a perfect time to do this. A lot of us are all sort of at home, not knowing what to do, binging on Netflix or whatever. You know, reading's a good thing, but writing, it's not that you sit down and write. It's a method by which you just sort of fill in some of the blanks of your life, you know, and realizing, hey, I got to come to grips with that. I never realized that in my life. Whoa, you know? And also some of us are kind of afraid to revisit some stuff that is really dark. But it's not a bad thing, you know, to come to grips with it.
It sounds like a very reflective process.
It's very reflective. Very reflective.
So you look back on your own life over the years and kind of figure out the high points and low points.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not rocket science, you know. What I've done is I've taken 10 chapters of my life up to 2016. And it's kind of like I'm sharing my life, not because it's all that important. It's just that I'm sharing my life to show you how to do it, your life map. That's the point. Well, how you know what you need to do for your life map. So, you know, my life map, it's out there. I mean, you know, I've become vulnerable. I've opened my life up. I'm not proud of a lot of the stuff in my life. Matter of fact, I've been floundering a whole lot in my life. But in it all, God's grace is there and you can see it. So this, you know, I broke it up in about 10 chapters. They're all kind of average, like 5-year segments. And after reflecting back on it, I sort of give titles to each of my chapters. Yeah, it's so important.
It sounds like a really interesting and provocative way of understanding who you are and how you relate to God.
Right.
And where you've been close to him and maybe not so close to him. And
yeah.
How you can cope with that and how you can improve on that. That's what the formation is all about.
That's right. Self-knowledge and the knowledge of God, those two things go right hand in hand. And life mapping helps you replace the ignorance in our life to knowledge.
Wonderful. Well, we'll encourage everyone to get on the website and take a look at life mapping.
Sure.
Sounds like a great activity for Lent.
It is.
So we had another question that was kind of leads me to this, and that question comes from Bill. He says, Father, I'd like to improve my prayer life. What is considered the best form of prayer for us laity members? I still take a great deal of comfort praying the rosary and other traditional prayers, but they sometimes become repetitive. Forming my own prayers is quite difficult for me because I'm not very practiced at it. What do you recommend for Bill?
Yes, there are many different ways to pray and to hear God's voice in our life. Scripture is one of them. One thing that you can do is get a breviary. A breviary is a daily prayer book of doing morning and evening prayers. We pray through the Psalms. There's a little bit of a complex liturgy that goes with that, but once you get used to it, it's a wonderful way to bring Scripture and the prayers of the church to yourself. So that's one way of praying. Another way of praying would be adoration. If you can come to the church, it's open, and that's a wonderful place to just sit in the presence of the Lord. And again, prayer is not necessarily done with words. It can be a silent thing where Jesus touches you very deeply when you're before the Blessed Sacrament. So that's another thing that you could do for prayer. And
so Scripture, the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
And quiet time, just being open to God coming to you.
Yeah, just just setting time apart. You know, God's always talking to us, but, you know, we're not always listening. He's pushing into us from all sides, but we tend to block him out with all our busyness in our life, and Lent's a perfect time for us to just step back and say, okay, Lord, speak to me.
And how important is it to ask for your special intentions for people who are sick, or if there's a difficulty going on in the family or with a relationship? How important is that?
Oh, my. Yeah. Being an intercessory prayer is really, really a wonderful thing. It's an act of mercy. We often think that mercy is something we give money to someone or what have you, but to pray for people is considered an act of mercy. And so I hope that we all have a list of those God has laid upon our hearts and our family and beyond, or maybe people that we know are in a hard way. They may not even know you're praying for them, but we have to believe that God placed that person on your heart and mine, and that God is actively engaging you to make a difference in that life through prayer. So it's an act of mercy.
Thank you. I'm sure that'll be helpful for both our persons who wrote in for these questions. Well, we thank you very much today, Father John, for your inspirational talk, and we will look forward to our next conversation.
Oh, I'm too. It's always great to be with you, Bob. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks to our participants today on the SJCC Clergy Q&A Show. We want to invite our listeners to take part in the show by sending in questions to be answered. If you have a question you'd like to hear on the program, email it to wsjf@stjoseph.cc. That's wsjf@stjoseph.cc with Q&A in the subject line. Or leave your name and question on our studio phone line at 443-920-9125. That number again is 443-920-9125. Thanks again for listening and for your support of WSJF 92.7 FM. We'll catch you next time on SJCC Clergy Q&A.